Hey, it's Todd Duncan. Welcome to High Trust Today, the podcast. I'm on a quest to help people win in business and in life. To do that, I know they must trust themselves, their relationships, their business, and they most certainly must trust their future. When you do that, you set in motion a universe of possibilities, and that journey begins right now.
Hey, it's Todd Duncan. Welcome to another High Performance Showcase. We are with Eric Johnson today, and I love Eric's story. He came to the Academy last December and is planted and cranking it on. And we're going to spend about 20 minutes or so together talking about Eric's journey and what he's done with High Trust. And so, Eric, good to have you with us today. I appreciate you joining.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, I know you're in a conference today, and it's even more important that you bugged out of that conference to help add value to our membership. So, hey, give everybody a quick, like, two-minute story. Who's Eric Johnson?
So, Eric Johnson, I grew up in Southern California. I joined the military a little later in life. I spent about just shy of 9 years doing that. I ended up getting out of the military after buying a couple homes. I had one really great home buying experience, and I had one really terrible home buying experience. And I always thought it was because of the agent. I was like, oh, you know, like the agent was really good. Like, why did my home buying experience suck? And then I realized that the loan officer really held a key part in the transaction. So that was kind of the difference between the two. And then my lifelong friend and brother, Ronnie King, he was at the sales academy with me as well. He was my loan officer on the second time that I purchased a home. And it just went just flawless. And so that was kind of what drew me to the industry.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you so much for your service. And I it's vaguely familiar. I think we had this conversation at the Academy a little bit, didn't we?
We did, yes.
Yeah. So I remember it very clearly. So talk a little bit about maybe last year compared to this year. I know we're halfway through the year this year while we do this interview, but you came to the Academy in December, and so give us a little bit of contextual on what 2018 was like and kind of what this year is looking like for you.
So 2018, Todd, was kind of interesting because this is something I kind of used to hide a little bit, but I'm just very open about it now. Even with agent partners, if they ask, I'm just very fluid with it. In 2018, I was still on active duty. And while I was on active duty, I got a chance to basically go and be an intern and just kind of learn the business and learn what I was doing and how I wanted to proceed forward. And in that time, I got to go to a lot of different events. That was where I was introduced to you, read your books, listened to your podcast. Obviously, we had some good conversations at the Sales Academy. So really in January of this year is when I kind of started my business from essentially nothing. I've just been cruising all year.
Yeah. So that means that you're 6 months post, kind of actually 6 months and maybe a couple of weeks post graduation. And So, you know, part of like why I do these is to share hope and strength and kind of, you know, vision and desire with people, but I also like to do them when I look at people that have kind of overcome change and overcome maybe the odds and done a combination of those things. So talk to us a little bit about maybe the top two or three things this year as a result of the Academy compared to before. And what are you doing to kind of develop business in your local marketplace that you're proud of, that would be unique and different and that could message everybody that's going to watch this interview?
So one thing that I thought was really huge on, and I didn't quite understand it all the way when I was at the Sales Academy, not until the very end when you and I had a good conversation. And it was kind of at that point I realized when I was hearing everybody talk, especially the people that were in coaching and kind of they had been to multiple sales academies, I was like, you know, I didn't grasp the concept yet. Like, why are you still coming back if you've already been once? My mind was kind of blown by it. And then as we dug into the binder and we went through everything and I kind of came back home, combined with that last conversation we had, I was like, I get why you have to go back. It's just so much to take in. You need those refreshers and it's exciting when you're there. So what I kind of did is the trust thing, trust and kind of honesty go hand in hand. So that was when I would go out and I would meet with partners and they would kind of say, well, hey, how long have you been doing this? I would just be honest with my situation and how I started speaking to people. It wasn't like a sales pitch anymore. It was very much just who I am, like you and I are talking right now. And so now that's how I talk to clients and partners. And it's, you know, sometimes maybe what I think is rough around the edges, people receive it very well because it's just very raw and real. And that was what I got most from the Sales Academy, especially with talking with you, is, you know, I can hear people speaking. And then when you talk to them afterwards, when they're the exact same person that they are when they were in front of everybody talking, it was really motivating to know, like, I can go be that same person and then work with the partners that I choose to work with. And then the ones that don't align with that, I just don't work with those partners. And it just made my life a lot better.
So that might be something that would be fun to kind of tee off on. So I think the first thing that I want to message everybody on is the message of you just used the words raw and real. And I think that there's a lot of people, even coming off a private label academy last week, where there was a couple of young guys that, you know, had just had their license for like a month or two, and they were borrowing kind of from a reality that hadn't happened yet. I don't have a lot of experience. You know, I don't feel like I've got enough, you know, my sea legs down to really to be valuable. And I said the same thing to them that I think that we talked about is there's a difference between experience and just being real and what your commitment is. So for anybody that is trying to understand, how can you be like literally 6 months new in the business, change your whole thinking about conversation? And how does that end up being a real invitation for trust and for confidence, particularly in this case with real estate agents that you're fairly new with? Talk about that experience a little bit.
I think the biggest thing for me is, Todd, honestly, if you sit down with somebody and you genuinely care, you know, if I ask you, like, what's important to you? I feel like there's different ways you can say it. Like, I can be like, so what's important to you? Or like when you look at somebody and you're like, Todd, so like, what's important to you? And I don't know if you remember, but you know, you had taken a call from your mom at the academy, and you know, it was a little emotional. And I was like, Todd, you know, why was that important to you? Like, for real, why was that? And it wasn't just because I had just learned something and I wanted to see if it worked on the guy who taught it to me. It was because I really wanted to know. And I think you can sense that. And so, you know, we had a great conversation based off that. And so just seeing it right then and there, like I had just got that information and I was genuinely curious, like, why did that affect you? You talk to your mom all the time. So when I started sitting down with agents, rather than worrying about, man, like, are they going to send me a deal next week? Do they have a client I could work with? Do they need a pre-approval? I just really cared. And then when things came up, they would talk about their kids. Oh, how old are your kids? What do you guys like to do? It just became conversations to whereas, you know, I'm not saying I have 50 partners, but, you know, the few that I have are, you know, I care about them. I know their kids' names. I know their wife's names. I know what they like to do on the weekends. You know, I've gone out to dinner with them. I know their significant others. So it's a genuine partnership and becoming friendships. I think that was probably the biggest thing.
Wow. So, you know, one of the key questions is this idea of connection, right? And I think that there's a lot of originators that feel they have to sell. There's a lot of originators that feel they need to kind of showcase why me. And there's, I think at the end of the day, I just did a TV episode before this recording. I think there's a lot of kind of promotion and, you know, there's nothing wrong with being proud of what you do and how you do it and why you do it, but there's everything wrong in leading with that. And mm-hmm. What you found is because of being new and because of our academy experience that connecting was about just conversation, right? So right. You emphasize the need for a deal, you emphasize the need to get a referral, and you emphasize the need of connection. And here you are 6 months down the track, right? Because that was December. And you know stuff about people that loan originators probably for years and years, they may have been calling on the same people, don't know. So right. Tell me some of the emotion you've seen by connecting this way. Tell me you know, tell me, have you taken this skill in your dialogues with borrowers? And if so, what has that kind of met and done for you? And, you know, I think in terms of business development, it's impossible to really develop business unless you develop relationship. And I think that, Eric, you kind of talked about how you have done that. So what's the, is it as simple as what's important about that to you, or is it your whole spirit wanting to be engaged?
I think it's the whole thing. You have to, you know, like I said, I feel like people can tell if it's not genuine. I will say kind of a fault of my own is when you do get in those conversations, you know, of what is important to you and it goes deep. Right now, my struggle is something I'm working on is sometimes those conversations will go for an hour and a half and I'm like, that's too long. But at the same time, I really, really care about, you know, what brought you out here? Why do you want to buy this home? You know, how is that going to affect your family? You know, maybe we should look at this strategy versus this strategy. And even just using the word strategy instead of loan program, just kind of all those things that we learned at the academy, implementing all of them for one is, I'll be 100% honest, much harder than I thought it would be. I looked there and, you know, kind of fresh out of the military, I read through that whole binder inside, outside. I memorized it and I learned it and I lived it. And I was like, man, this is hard. And I went there knowing it was going to be hard, but it kind of even exceeded my expectations. So to just take that and make it your own and then really care about what people want and what they need and to hear them, I think, you know, makes the business just come right to you. So I think it's really important that as I continue forward, I never lose that.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, I think from my perspective, there's never a downside of connecting. I can even see it as we do this interview. I can see it in your eyes right now that I know how deeply important this is to you, and it should be to all of you. You know, there's no point in staying superficial in this business. I mean, I think the deeper you go and the more real you get, the more authentic you get, the more even vulnerable you might get, the more you are received and the more that you are kind of welcomed. And I think it also accelerates trust for sure. You've even mentioned today, 6 months into it, that some of these people have become friends, you know, and
right.
It's really cool. So what does this mean to you so far as you're 6 months down the track of having been to the academy? What has it done for you and how do you tangibilize maybe business, maybe ROI, maybe personal growth? What do you say to this?
So ROI, I think that at this point, you know, in spending a lot of time in the military, I always kind of thought that I was very much so work and business life are separate. And I didn't really have work balance because my work kind of told me what it was going to be. And then whatever time I had left, I balanced. So now where I have this schedule of I have my personal life and my business life, I think as far as development, it's helped me develop both personally even more than I thought I could. And business-wise, I mean, tenfold, I set a goal and I'm on my way to hit that goal as far as numbers go. You know, when I first went to the academy, I wasn't really understanding the value of coaching and what you can get out of that and just how talking to somebody who can help guide you on your path in reading and studying and doing those things that you're doing essentially because you want to have a successful business also makes your personal life even more meaningful and more successful. Cause now I care about my significant other, you know, how was your day? You know, like what made you smile today? What made you laugh? To whereas before I would have just taken that and just hard work. I've always been a really hard worker, but now I know that just because there's 24 hours in the day, I don't need to work 22 of them and completely ignore my personal life to try to get ahead. I understand that they both grow together. And then in understanding that, I understood that my partners, my clients, and anybody in between also wanted those same things. And now I had a vehicle to give it to them because I kind of had the keys.
I think it's an incredible story. And I think it probably has led to some efficiencies that maybe you can talk to, you know, to everybody listening this around. But I think the most important thing is, and even last week, and I don't know that it's ever going to change, Eric, but there just seems to be this real deep desire on behalf of people where the business has kind of taken over and the business has like defined them, and they feel like they are just getting kind of pulled along. They maybe have lost their happiness. They've lost their joy. Certainly there's a lot of people that are getting controlled by quote partners, you know, and it's just, it's kind of crazy. So what are some of the top efficiencies that you've been able to gain in the last 6 months that you could walk through with our listeners, maybe two or three that you're really proud of?
So I would say right when I got back from the academy, something I did was I spent about a whole day making a time blocking schedule with colors. And I remember sitting there and thinking, you know, schedule time for high trust interviews or prospecting calls, you know, and I scheduled on one of them an hour of time. It's like, who am I going to call for an hour? Like, I'm supposed to do high trust interviews for an hour. I don't even have anyone to interview. So I remember thinking that, and I put that block in there. And, you know, sure enough, as I kind of just saw that every day and it would pop up on my Outlook, like, and I even went as far as like, this is drive time. Like, these 30 minutes are drive time, and we can't block for time, right? Traffic and all that stuff. However, just knowing that, you know, I had that time scheduled, for some reason, it just made me feel more efficient when I knew I was going to be somewhere at a certain time. I knew from this time to this time, I was going to be doing these exact functions. And so it didn't matter if I got 30 emails or 40 phone calls, because that's not what I was doing then. To be all, in all honesty, I think I'm at a point now I need to redo that. It's time. Just because my priorities and kind of my money-making activities have shifted. So I need to obviously update that. So that's on my list of things that I need to do. But I think, you know, time blocking out those distractions rather than trying to control the time is huge. And that's, I think, probably the biggest thing.
So let me tee off on this for just a second, because there's nothing more exciting to me than when somebody understands the power of organizing and really controlling all that you have control over, and that is you and what you do with the time that has been given to you. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about in the academy was Stephen Covey's top laws, and we talked about being proactive, but that was habit number one in his best-selling book. But habit number two was begin with the end in mind. And I think a lot of originators don't understand that time blocking is to create something you've never created. And it requires you to begin with the end in mind. It requires you to say, okay, in my perfect world, this is what I'd like to have happen during this hour. And the fact that you have it on the calendar, and the fact that maybe you don't have all the I's dotted and T's crossed yet to produce that, proves that beginning with the end in mind works, right? And so then you start to gravitate towards, okay, I've got this hour, and this is the third day in a row I've had this hour, and so now what do I do with that hour? And I am elated that as a guy coming out of the military, first of all, you understand order, you understand discipline, you understand routine, and you understand kind of that whole idea. But to be able to wake up one day and go, I've got it on my calendar, and I don't have anything to fill it with yet, even though it's kind of ordained, proves that the idea works, right? And then you gravitated towards making that happen. So the starts and stops with time blocking can be the demise of an LO, because they try it for a day, or they try it for a week, or they maybe even try it for a month. Here you are 6 months down the track saying, now it's time to upgrade it, right? It's time to change it a little bit. So what have been the changes like now that you want to make, having been time blocking for 6 months? What are some of the ahas that kind of come to the top of your mind in this interview?
So some of the things are, and what I've noticed a lot is, right now my months are kind of up and down and up and down. And I know we talked about it at the Sales Academy. I know how to prevent it. I know what I should be doing. But at the end of the day, it's hard to, you know, let's say you get 3 new loan files. Well, now I'm in those files, I'm working them, I'm generating those pre-approvals, I'm updating them. There's a lot of functions that go on with that. So I didn't have the proper amount of time allotted, because when I first started, I didn't have as many files to work in and be in and you know, be walking those across the finish line. So now that I have that, yes, I still need to make sure I'm prospecting. That's number one. I need to make sure I'm building those relationships, but I also need to make sure that I have time, that the clients I do have are getting the best possible service, that they're absolutely pumped to be buying homes, and that they're, you know, over the top happy with what we're doing for them. So, and everybody is, it's not to say they haven't, it's just, I know that in order to maintain kind of my work home life balance, I need to make sure I'm shifting my work life schedule, so I'm not cutting into my home life as much as I have been over the last 2 months. And so I've identified it. I know I need to make corrections. And so that's what I'm going to do.
And I would just say to everybody that's, and even for myself, it's, this is one constant work in progress. And I think I even said at the Academy, you know, do your time blocking schedule for the first month when you're going to be out of the Academy, and just understand it's going to be a constant work in progress. And I think far too often people don't realize that the pursuit of work-life balance rarely has a moment in time where the glue is dry. You know, I mean, we have circumstances, we all have circumstances that encroach on the only non-renewable asset we have, which is our minutes, right? So right. For anybody to think that you're done, and for anybody to think that this is your schedule and I'm going to rock and roll for the next decade with this, you know, you just couldn't be further from the truth. So your attitude towards time blocking is what?
Is, and not just towards time blocking, but this kind of goes with everything, is change. Everybody is kind of always scared of change. Whereas I feel like I need to always be changing in order to continue to grow. Without that level of change, I can't have that level of growth. So that's something I'm always looking for, always trying to do, is change. And time blocking is something that changes. I feel like as long as I'm changing, I'll continue to grow. So that's something that I really try to focus on and just always make sure that I'm doing.
Yeah. So let me ask a question, because this is really exciting for anybody in the industry that, you know, that wants to really think about rebooting, you know, their 2020. We've got a pretty good rate environment right now, and it's easy to get kind of this false sense of I'm doing great. But at the same time, it's by design. And, you know, there's a lot of people thinking about what's next year look like. There's a lot of new loan originators coming into the business that, you know, would love to be where you're at, would love to be figuring out, you know, what does it look like 6 months or 12 months from now? So when you made the comment that your business has transformed in the last 6 months, what does that look like for anybody in terms of what were you units, what were you doing before, and kind of what are you doing now? Even though you have some of the ups and downs, which I appreciate, honest with, what's it look like for you this year?
So I'll kind of look at last year. And so last year in 2018, I had 0 units and 0 volume. So I literally closed nothing at all. So as a loan originator last year, I didn't originate one loan under my name. There was, of course, loans that I worked on and I was learning, but I originated nothing. And so as far as this year goes, as of tomorrow, I'll be right around $7 million in volume. And at the end of the month, I'll be just over 8. And so like, there's a pretty good amount of volume there. And granted, that has come, you know, in ups and downs. I've had some good months. And, you know, luckily, I've been fortunate enough to always been able to produce something every month. But there is, of course, good months and, you know, months that have been a little slower. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, in August, I'll be right around 8 million. So averaging about 1 million a month. And I'm pretty proud of that. My goal is 15, and my stretch goal is 17 for the end of the year. So I got some catching up to do. I'm excited to do it. It kind of gives me a little fire. I know I need to step it up. And my coach is Louise Thaxton. I know you know who she is. So you know, her and I have conversations, and you know, she's fiery, and I love that because our conversations are very, I mean, just so real. She's like, "Well, you know, what are you going to do about it?"
I can see Louise saying that.
Oh yeah, you know, and you know, I can almost picture the look on her face. You know, and we just talk on the phone. It's not over Zoom, but you know, she just says it with such conviction. It lights a fire. You're like, I'm gonna do this. So that's kind of where I am numbers wise.
She is. We just posted a sales mastery replay of her a week and a half ago, and he was on fire last year. It was just, you could not help but just be inspired by her story. And you're super grateful, not only because of who she is as a human being, but the fact that she's got a boat ton of empathy for veterans, as you know, right?
Oh, yeah. And she does. As a matter of fact, I screenshotted that video and she's making a face in that video. I took it right off your social media page. I screenshotted that and I sent it to her and I said, when people say they can't get up earlier.
It's so cool. So let me ask you a question. We're knocking on the door of August, and you've mentioned that. So as you think about the academy, as you think about, you know, having somebody in your life like Louise and having mentorship, and you think about next year, what does it look like for you? What are you starting to think about already in terms of prepping for next year? What are the two or three ahas that you say to yourself, like, next year, these are minimums for Eric Johnson?
So next year, I would like to do, as far as volume, 20 million would be my goal when I think about 2020. And I just kind of like that. So in 2020, I'd like to do 20 million in volume. I think that's realistic. Louise hasn't asked me that question yet, but I think if she heard 20 million, I think she would say 20 million. That's it.
That's all.
I'm sure when she sees this, she's going to say, I can't believe you said 20 million. But I think that's probably a realistic goal. Now, in my mind, I would like to do 30 and even more. So that's kind of an open-ended question. But as far as things that I know I need to do, I need to go out to more events. I need to get in front of more people that have similar interest and that are like-minded. And I say that because one thing I've noticed and really have been passionate about is I want to work with people that are interested in doing the same things I am, because the connection I have and the things that I do in my personal life, I'm so passionate about it. And so when I connect with those people, they're so passionate about it. And it's over the top fun and exciting to work with those types of people, whether they're clients or partners. So I'd like to find more of those. That's kind of like a no matter what for me. One thing I want to do is I've read a lot. And when I say I've read a lot, in all honesty, I listen to a lot and then I skim through the books and I highlight and underline things. Next year, no matter what for me, and even really starting next month, I've kind of made a commitment to myself. I want to read more, because I feel like the more I'm physically reading the words on the page, not just listening to it, I have a lot more to offer when I talk to clients, partners. Just anybody I talk to, I feel like I have just an abundance of wisdom to give out, versus when I hear it, I kind of hear it and, you know, I catch little things here and there. So that's a no matter what for me. And then just more prospecting. And I'm doing a lot now, but I want to be over the top with it. I would like to spend half my days every single day prospecting. And I think that's something that I'd like to work towards. And I know what I have to do, the systems I have to implement to get there. And so that's what I'd like to start working towards.
Yeah. So if you remember the pie charts we showed at the Academy, right? And we were talking about the fact that the lowest paid originators prospect for 24% of their day, but they only get 5% of active selling time. And the top producers prospect for the same amount of time, but they get 5x the return on active selling. And what you said in this interview, Eric, that really bodes well, is you want to do business with people that are like-minded. You want to do business with people that you can connect with. And the biggest thing everybody needs to understand as they watch this interview is that's how you improve conversion. You don't think about conversion as some kind of layered skill set. You think about, the deeper I connect, the more people will want to do business with me. And that's the key. So to spend 4 hours a day prospecting, if you do that every day next year, whether that's prospecting partners, whether it's developing partners or working with borrowers, you'll be in the top 10% of originators in America. And it's life altering if you can spend 4 hours a day prospecting. So that is a admirable goal. I think I would side with Louise as well. I think that I would say 20, really, you can do more, but man, 2020, what a great theme. What a great 20 million in 2020. I think you've got all the potential in the world to make that happen. So Awesome. Any closing thoughts you want to share with anybody watching this?
It's not as easy as it looks. I would say to every single originator, whether you've been in the business for, you know, years and years, or you're just getting into it. I have a lot of great people in my life that are in the industry and kind of push me in the right direction. But I will say there hasn't been a push that's been as good as the Sales Academy that 100% sent me over the edge. It gave me a direction to go, a very clear picture that was painted. And I think if you can follow it, and you don't even have to follow all of it, that's the incredible part, is I know, and I'm honest with myself in saying I'm probably only doing, you know, 40% of the things that are in that binder, and I'm doing fairly well. If I could, when I learn to implement all those in a very systematic way, I mean, the sky's the limit for that. And I think everybody should just have that knowledge and know how to convey their genuine truth when they're talking to partners, clients, anybody in between. I think that's huge.
Yeah, I am super proud of you, and I admire what you just said. And, you know, the truth of the matter behind the Academy is once you have it, and once you understand that I don't need to go searching for a whole bunch of other, you know, laws and ideas and so on and so forth. I tell people literally, and I told you and everybody that was with us in December in Las Vegas, I said, this book is either going to be a notebook or it's going to be a workbook. And you don't have to ever, ever learn anything more than keeping up to speed and up to date with what's in there. And it will take you to the finish line. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you saying that. And I appreciate you sharing your heart with us today. It's been really fun to see the eyes and remember our conversation. And I know that Luis is going to be proud of you, as will your entire organization.
Thank you so much for listening to the High Trust Today podcast. I want to offer you a broadcast that I did called The Purpose-Driven Leader. Watch this broadcast. All you have to do is click in the link in the bio below. It'll take you straight to the page and watch this beautiful leadership broadcast called The Purpose-Driven Leader.